want you to take your Bibles tonight, and I'm going to have you go first to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. We're not going to talk anything prophetical tonight. I'm just going to focus on the thought of praise, the thought of praise tonight. So Revelation chapter 19 and the fifth verse. And we'll take a look at this for just a few minutes tonight. Now, Father, I pray you would be pleased to work here in this time of studying your word together. And I'm excited for Brother Charles and Heather as they leave on Saturday to fly over to Zambia. We ask that you give them safety. Lord, preach through him. Use him. Use him to make a difference in the lives of those people, to bring folks to Christ, to strengthen the believers. And Lord, just to be an encouragement to the missionary friends there. And Lord, for their own blessing, and give them safety. And just all the other requests, think especially about the folks from Eastland Baptist that came in contact with COVID. Just ask that you would protect those folks. I think back to last year when we had an outbreak here, how you protected everybody, how you spared lives, how you raised people up. And we thank you for that. So I ask you to do the same for them. And just do a special work there through their pastor to have wisdom. Do a special work in all those, Lord, who have that virus right now to bring healing to them. Now, as we look into your word here, as the teen ministry across the way is going on for our children downstairs, for those in the nursery, Lord, you work in this place tonight to bring glory to your name. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Revelation 19:5, simple verse, it simply says, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him." Let me just read it one more time. "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him." You know, when I preached Sunday night, or Sunday morning, and made the observation of what Jesus said to the apostles, that I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. And while that is certainly true, every one of those apostles found it appropriate to refer to themselves as they wrote the different letters, the different epistles. They referred to themselves as the servants of Jesus Christ. And so the reality is that while we may not have to bear the title of servant, we have the privilege of being called servants. And he tells us here that as his servants, as his people, it is our responsibility, if you will, to praise our God. And we certainly should. And I don't think any of us as Christians would disagree with the necessity of praising our God. I think everybody in this auditorium would agree with that tonight. In the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 4, we're told that King David appointed some of the Levites with the purpose simply of praising God. In that verse, he said, "And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to record, and to thank, and praise the Lord God of Israel." The ark had been at a different location, and he wanted it within the city, so he set up a tent. And while the tabernacle itself would remain where it had been located for so long, he brought the ark into Jerusalem itself, and he called on some of those Levites to a certain task. And one of those tasks was to simply praise the Lord. It was their responsibility. And I think it's our responsibility too. For those Levites, those priests, it was given to them of David to have the responsibility to praise the Lord. I'm reminded of what Peter said to us, that we also are priests. We're part of the royal family, the royal priesthood. And as a priest, now that includes every man here, that includes every woman here, we are priests before the Lord, and it should be our responsibility, not just our privilege, and it is a privilege to be able to share praises, but it is our responsibility to do those things. Now, how often do I think of praising God as a responsibility? I'm not sure that I've ever thought of it as a responsibility. But just looking at this, I think it is. I think it is a responsibility, a necessity that Christians praise. and that we praise whether we are in the mood to praise or not, to praise whether the things in our life are going well or not, that we learn the responsibility of praise. So I just want to look at some scripture here tonight, and I'm going to try to be true to my word and try to limit my teaching tonight so that we have more time to pray. And this is the main thing I want you to focus on tonight. Now, when we pray, as we saw last week, the word prayer does mean to ask, and we certainly have that prayer list so we can ask on behalf of others in their time of need. But I also believe this, that prayer incorporates much more than just asking God for things. And praise is certainly a necessary thing in our life. So that's my focus here tonight. So I want you to turn with me to some different passages. And I want you to notice Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And I'm just going to point out some things that I see concerning this ministry, if you would, of praise. And when you look at Hebrews chapter 2, it's pretty apparent that Jesus saw praise as his personal responsibility. And I'm going to begin to read in verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 2. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Now, I just want you to notice verse 12. The ministry that Jesus had of bringing many sons to glory, of making himself a sacrifice upon Calvary, as is really spelled out here in these verses, we're told that the Lord Jesus Christ himself praises. Now, this passage, this verse in particular, is taken from the 22nd Psalm, the 22nd verse. The words are almost verbatim there, with one exception. It does not say in Psalm 22:22 that he sings. It just simply says, in the midst, I will praise. Here he says, in the midst of the church, I will sing praise unto thee. Now, why did he do that? Because it was a responsibility that he had to praise his Father for the privilege of being able to suffer. The privilege of suffering so that he could bring others to a saving knowledge of himself and see them become part of his family. His attitude was one of looking at praise as a responsibility. So I'll just ask you this tonight. Do you look at the practice of praising as a responsibility that you have? Now, I don't necessarily want you to praise out of an attitude of responsibility, because with the word responsibility can come the attitude of drudgery. I have to do that. It's my responsibility to get up, you know, at 5:30 every morning, and I have to go to work. You know, I don't want to, but I have to. I don't have a choice. I don't want you to have that kind of an attitude toward praise. And yet, should not praise be as prevalent as any other aspect of our lives? Should we not praise as automatically as we would as to get up and go to our places of employment? Should we not praise as instantly as we would to satisfy our hunger? Praise is a responsibility. And we're talking here about God himself. God who took on flesh, humbled himself, became a man. God himself, as a man, dependent on the Father, made the decision, yeah, I have given my life, and I have brought many sons to glory, but I am going to praise my Father. Again, look at that verse 12. I will declare thy name, God's name, unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. In the midst of this called out assembly. Now, of course, not just a one local church, but to the church in general. I'm going to sing praise to you. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to hear Jesus Christ sing. I was thinking earlier today, it was someone here who told me about a family named Collinsworth. How many of you have ever heard of the Collinsworth family? Now, Collinsworth have been singing for years, and when I was told about them, it was probably 15 to 16 years ago. Of course, at that time, all their kids were very small, and so they said, you got to listen to this family sing. And so I listened to them and thought, boy, they're really good. And so I've just followed them over the years. Now all their kids are grown, they all are married, and they all have their own children, all those kind of things. They're tremendous singers. I would listen to them anytime, anywhere. In fact, someone gave me the opportunity to go up to Fairmont. They were in Fairmont about 2 years ago. Had a chance to go up there to hear one of their concerts. It was blessed. I loved it. I think they actually love the Lord. I can't say that about every gospel group, but I think I can say this about that family. It seems like they really love the Lord. How many have heard of Greater Vision? Any of you heard of Greater Vision? Now, three men, a trio, they write tremendous songs, and they seem to have a genuine love for the Lord. I love to hear those people sing. I mention those folks because we all have favorite people we like to listen to sing. We admire certain people because of their abilities that God has given to them in music. There's no one that will ever sing like Jesus Christ. And I believe exactly what we're told here in our Bible, that one day we will hear Jesus in the midst of the church. Now, what church does that refer to? Again, not the local church here, but when the assembly gathers together. Read Hebrews chapter 12 very carefully. When that assembly gathers together in the presence, in the physical presence of God, there's going to be someone who stands up and is going to be singing. It won't be the Collinsworth. It won't be Greater Vision. It won't be whoever you may think of that you've really enjoyed over the years. It's going to be Jesus, and he's going to sing. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to have the responsibility of praising the Father for what the Father used him to do to bring many people to a saving knowledge. So I think it's important that you and I see the responsibility of praising. A second thought. Our praise to God might come the way of sacrifice. And so here again in the book of Hebrews, go back to chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, I'm going to begin in verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, and notice this word, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the gate. And the term without, is you can figure that out, it means outside. Outside the gate. Outside, of course, Jesus was crucified outside the gates there, past the temple area there on Golgotha, and that's the attitude here. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now I just note, obviously, what Jesus Christ did for us, and we're told here in verse 12 that he suffered. He suffered when he went to Calvary. And what should our attitude be? We also should be willing to go outside the camp, outside the gate, and do what? Bear reproach. More and more, it is reproachful, if that is a word, to be a Christian. In a supposed Christian nation, you receive more and more reproach for being someone who stays true to the convictions of Christianity. That never happened when I was a kid. It's happening more and more now, whether it's from our leaders, whether it's from the educators, whether it's from really a next-door neighbor. More and more, we are bearing reproach for being followers of Jesus Christ. And that's just the way it's going to be, and it's going to get worse as time goes by. So I stress the suffering that Jesus had, and I stress the reproach that we bear as his children for this reason, because sometimes it does seem like as we classically look at the word sacrifice in the way that we personally today use the word sacrifice, it does become somewhat of a sacrifice to praise him. Because people think we're crazy as it is. You realize being a part of an independent fundamental Baptist church makes you just a little more crazy. Yeah. It does, doesn't it, Alanis? It really does. I mean, that's the way people look at fundamentalists. I mean, that is not a term of endearment in this country. If you're a fundamentalist, you're a wacko person. I mean, you're right up against the edge of being cultish. Well, I would deny both of those thoughts, but that is the way the world looks at us. So we have to bear a certain sense of reproach. Just the fact that I am not willing to do a lot of the things that the world does. I will not give myself to do a lot of the things that I believe the Word of God plainly teaches are evil, that the world gives themselves into all the time. And people reject that standard of what you might call righteous living or holiness. They reject it. They think we're extreme. I think we're right. That's what I think. I think anytime you follow the Bible, you're going to be committed to it. You're right. And I think there's a lot of things that are not open to interpretation or debate. I really do. And I think sometimes we're so fearful of being labeled, and we're so fearful of having confrontation, that we buy into the thing, well, just do whatever you want kind of thing. I think there are things that are very plainly spelled out in the Word of God. So we're going to bear reproach, right? So because we bear reproach, because we too suffer like our Savior has suffered, and more even in this Christian nation, we see an attitude of suffering among believers now. Not to the degree of what is happening on the African continent. Not to the degree of what's happening in Asia or in Eastern Europe. Nevertheless, more and more persecution is coming our way. Suffering for believers is coming our way. And so we have to have that attitude of a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of praise. And that's really, I think, spelled out when you look at what Peter said. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, just a few pages over. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I think personally for us as Americans, as the culture declines and as Christianity becomes more and more a burden on our society instead of a blessing on our society, there are going to be more trials. There's going to be more reproach. It's going to lead to more suffering. And it's going to be, in a sense, a sacrifice to offer praise. Because sometimes you're going to end a day, you're going to say, man, this was a terrible day. This was a costly day. This was a painful day. This was a burdensome day. And I don't feel like praising. Then you and I have to understand, as Jesus did, the responsibility to praise and the sacrifice of offering praise, no matter what fiery trials have entered your life. And that through the fiery trial, you not only give praise, but you become a praise. Your life becomes a praise as you maintain an integrity before the Lord. That you don't lower your spiritual convictions. That you don't compromise with the world. That your light shines even more so as the nation becomes darker. so that the fiery trials that enter into our lives are found unto praise and unto honor and glory. Some of that praise will be brought back to you. But ultimately, anything that makes your life a praise will reflect on the one who is praise, and that's Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? A third thought. Our spiritual blessings are to bring praise to his work of grace. So go to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, these are kind of like random thoughts tonight. So you're saying, this is not a very good outline, Pastor. I know that. I had some interruptions today, but anyway, just random thoughts about praise tonight. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now notice this, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So in those first verses 3 through 5, he lists, if you will, the spiritual blessings that are afforded to us through his work in our lives. Because we're now in Christ. The moment you got saved, you were placed in Christ, and you sit with him in heavenly places. You're afforded all these special blessings that he lists here. And he says, to this purpose, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Because he favored you and me. Because he favored us enough that he came. Because he favored us enough that he died on Calvary. He favored us enough to offer a gift to all of us. He said all of these things that we have received bring about praise to his grace, really. To the praise of the glory of his grace. And his grace is glorious, isn't it? His grace is awesome. He has favored us. Though we don't deserve his favor, he has favored us. He's poured out his grace. And that's to his praise. So just the fact that you sit here a redeemed people, just the fact that it is true that you have been predestinated unto the adoption of children, just by the fact that you appear before him holy and without blame, in one sense, is a praise to the grace of God. But when you live in such a way that you, if you would, frolic in the fact that you are holy and without blame, you're no longer condemned. When you live in such a way that that adoption of children becomes apparent, as you're growing and maturing and you're receiving all these blessings from God because of your walk, the intensity of your walk with him. It makes, and we talked last week about glory, how that word carries with it the attitude of magnifying. You know, to a lost man, God looks about that big. But when they see salvation real in you, it makes God look this big. And maybe to a saved man, God looks this big already. But as you continue to live for him and you offer the sacrifice of praise and you see the responsibility to always offer praise, a God who looks this big to your fellow believer may look that big to your fellow believer. Does that make sense? We have the responsibility to praise. We're to offer the sacrifice of praise. Because of the spiritual blessings that have been poured out to us, we magnify his grace. It's a praise to our Savior. And then two other very short thoughts tonight before we go to prayer. Look at Psalm 33, verse 1. The 33rd Psalm. Look at the first verse. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. The word comely means it's beautiful. Praise is beautiful. Praise is befitting to the upright. It's just something that an upright people should do. And folks, you are the upright. You are the righteous of the earth. You are the redeemed of the earth. It's only befitting, or you could use the word becoming. You don't hear people use that term much, but it used to be somebody would walk in, you know, maybe they were dressed real sharply. Maybe a guy walks in a really nice suit. I mean, he looks really polished, and oh, that's very becoming to you. In other words, he makes the suit look good and the suit makes him look good, kind of thing. That's very becoming to you, very befitting to you. It's beautiful. And praise in the upright, and that's who you are, when it's practiced, even when it's not always convenient to practice it, is very, very beautiful, very becoming, very befitting to a child of God. That's what every child of God should be. That's what should be coming out of every child of God's mouth. Not just when we have a praise service kind of thing. You know, like, let's take time to praise the Lord. You know, and I love it when people say, I want to praise God for my salvation. I want to praise God because about 3 weeks ago at 9:30, the early service, after we sang the first song, I just asked her, I intended just to have maybe a couple of people give a praise. Well, it just started, a lot of people were giving praises. And, you know, it's like, I wasn't expecting it to take this long, but it was good. You know, people just wanted to give praise. I'm grateful for that. But I'm not talking about just like when we get together in an assembly, whether it's a few or a bunch of people, and we say, all right, anybody like to give a praise to the Lord tonight? Sometimes it's like pulling teeth, let's be honest. And then other times it just kind of flows. That's good. And would that every time I said, does anybody have a praise, everybody's saying, ooh, 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 I have a praise. Or like Daisy did last week, I got a bunch of praises. Would that every one of us had that kind of desire to praise the Lord. But I'm not talking just coming together and officially giving a time of praise. I mean, our life is a praise. When we go before the throne in prayer, our first directive, our first thought is not only to hallow His name, but to praise His name. And then one last thought. And that thought is this. And that is just, you find that praise is a befitting to a child of God. And the last thought tonight is found just a few pages back in the 22nd Psalm. And that's the third verse. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. I remember when that first hit me, that God inhabits, He dwells in, He lives in the praises of His people. Obviously not just limited to Israel, but we who have been saved, and as Paul said, have become, in a sense, spiritual Jews. He inhabits our praises. He lives in our praises. So praise is a residence, if you will, of God. So why would we not praise Him a whole bunch? Does that make sense? I mean, if that's where He resides, if that's where He lives, if that's where He wants to be, why would I not praise Him a whole bunch? Well, Pastor, I don't want it to become old hat. Has it ever become old hat to you, lady, if someone says, oh, you're beautiful? I mean, do you ever say, you've already told me that two or three times. I don't want to hear that I'm beautiful anymore. Or, sir, you know, you're handsome. You know, oh, I don't want to hear that anymore. And I'm thinking to myself, I wish somebody would tell me I'm handsome, that kind of thing. No, you just tell me as much as you want, kind of thing. Listen, you don't get tired of that, do you? Or maybe John does. I don't know if he gets tired of it, but I don't get tired of that kind of thing. And so why should I expect that God would ever get tired of us praising Him, whether it's even out of an attitude of responsibility, an attitude of sacrifice, or just reflect glory to His grace, to praise Him. So this is what I want to do tonight as we go to the Lord in prayer now. Just take time. See it as a responsibility. Even if you've had a terrible day and you feel like it's going to be a sacrifice, it's going to kind of cost me something to offer praise, that each one of us take the time to praise Him. I'm not saying to you, don't ask, because that's why we pray. We ask as we intercede for our fellow church members, as we intercede for other people, just like with the Electrics going over to Zambia. The goal is to see people saved. So we ought to ask God to save people when Brother Electric preaches. We ought to be doing those things. But since God inhabits our praises, let's let Him just kind of, in a sense, come and dwell among us tonight, hearing our praises, and then lift our request to Him tonight. All right, Father, I thank You for what You continually reveal in Your Word. I ask that we would continually grow and become more like You, and more have Your mind. And Lord, believe the simple statements of Your Word. I ask now tonight that as we get together to pray, that You would bless our time of prayer, that the requests that are brought up would find answers in You, because You're the only one that can answer. You're the only one that can heal. You're the only one that can deliver. You're the only one that can provide. But God, to do it with an attitude of praise. We ask that that would be our attitude, not only tonight, but every time we lift our voice up to You. And we'll thank You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said last week, my encouragement would be, you don't have to do this, but where two or three are gathered together, my encouragement is going to be, grab someone, pray with someone, and just ask the Lord to work tonight. All right, we'll go to prayer.
children.